3. Galatians chapter 3. We've been studying through in the book of Galatians, and we've talked about the difference between the law and grace, and how there was a faction getting into the Galatian church trying to confuse the relationship between law and grace. Remember, the law pointed to grace. Grace helped us with the problems we had with the law. The law was there to be a schoolmaster to teach us why we needed grace. They were never meant to be blended together. They are impossible. Grace does not work within the confines of the law. And law and following of the law has never redeemed anybody. So as Paul gets into chapter 3, we see something that's not very popular. I've heard of preachers before being accused of lacking compassion. I've heard of pastors before being heavy-handed or heavy-fisted with their words behind the pulpit. I've heard of pastors being referred to as mean or uncaring, all sorts of names that we can put towards a pastor for how rough he talks. Well, no one in the Bible would ever be like that. Well, chapter 3, verse 1, "Oh, foolish Galatians." How would you like that? We start off a sermon, "Oh, foolish members of Home Missionary Baptist Church." That's only something you could write from a far distance. You don't say that. Right, or else I'll have more than one person wishing there weren't a pew between us this morning, right? But all the same, Paul came out and he said it. Why? Because he was frustrated at how they started off knowing. And then somehow they left it for something that doesn't even make sense. Let's read his words. I'm going to stop trying to paraphrase. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." You know he's been crucified. Of all the people, you know. We are fresh off the bat here. You are fully aware of the crucifixion of Christ. You know why he had to die. You know who he was. You know he lived a perfect life. You know everything there is to know about the sacrifice he made that day. So who got in your mind to confuse you? We often think about that. Man, if I lived back in Bible days, what a swell thing. I tell you what, if Jesus were to come back today and preach, we'd have revival. People would be, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. Why? Because he did, and there wasn't. I mean, yeah, there was a great start, and things kicked off, and amazing things happened, but there were still many people who could sit there and hear the teachings of Jesus Christ, see the miracles of Jesus Christ, see the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, and still have trouble with their faith. See, we have that issue. We choose to believe what we want to believe. And that is a hard thing for people to understand nowadays. You choose what to believe. You sit there, you know, Brother Charlie was talking about our brand new identity. You know, you see a world, oh no, you got to be unique, you got to be different, you got to be more like us. How is that unique if I'm more like you? How is that any different? And how is that going to help me? I really appreciate that devotion this morning. It really brought a smile to my face thinking about how God has changed us. But we see the world out there pushing out their old identity, pushing out a false identity. Be this, believe that, act this way. You've got to have a little, what was it Frank Sinatra said? "I feel bad for people who don't drink. They wake up and that's the best they feel." I read that quote, I go, Frank, no man, look at the stuff you did. Look at the things he's probably answering for in hell right now. No, Frank, that's not right. As a matter of fact, I don't know about you, but I feel the worst in the morning. Don't you feel the worst in the morning? You get up, everything's sore, you got to stretch out. And anyway, now you believe, people sit there, they'll read that and they'll go, ha ha, yeah, that's good. Because I like to drink. You choose to believe that. You choose to believe that that's good for you. You choose to believe that it's benefiting your life. It's not. There are people out there that get these weird ideas about relationships and different things that you can get yourself into, giving into your lust and whatnot. You choose to believe that, and everything you find, it's confirmation bias. Every time you find a good thing about it, you say, oh, it's morally right because I found a good thing about it. What if I told you that if you went to McDonald's right now, you know those egg sandwiches with the fried egg in it? Did you know that's a real egg? I know it sounds crazy, but you crack that egg into these little things, these little rings. They're horrible to fix and horrible to get clean while you're fixing them. But anyway, that's a real egg. Did you know that that bacon, that Canadian bacon, that little disc bacon that you can get with that sandwich, is relatively low processed. It's a good meat. It's good quality meat. And we said, oh, okay, yeah. And did you know that when they say they put real, well, it's not real butter. You guys know when they say they're using real butter, you know Real is a brand name, right? So when they say real butter, it's this brand name butter. And it's not even really butter. But anyway, they use a really hot stove to cook it. They throw it out after a certain level of minutes to some of the freshest food you'll ever find. But according to my heart doctor, it will kill you. I can sit there and I can confirmation bias my way into any thought process I want. And it will still hurt me. And it will still cause trouble in my life. So as Paul is sitting there, he's frustrated. He goes, you experienced, you were taught, I told you, you've seen and heard, there have been testimonies. Who had the ability to be with you from what you know is true? Many of us, we have that testimony. Well, I grew up knowing this stuff. I was taught this stuff. I've been living this stuff for some time, for some years. But yet our actions don't always back up what we believe. It's like when you're talking to somebody and you tell them, hey, you know, you really shouldn't do that. Oh, I know. And they get an attitude for telling you something they already know, skipping right past the fact that even though they know they shouldn't do it, they're doing it anyway. I'm not the dumb one. Right? So we have to keep a hold of the idea or the knowledge that we choose to believe. But if we have solid proof, if we know for a fact something is there, how foolish we are to be taken away from it. How foolish we are to abandon it. We see there, who has bewitched you? Or the question, who has bewitched you? The term bewitched by definition means to charm, to fascinate, or to please to such a degree as to take away the power of resistance. My kids came up, we've got that tablet in the back, and my kids came up and the first thing I told my kids, no, don't go anywhere near it. And I picked one of my sons who I know would just like a moth to the flame. Oh, it's on. Oh, it's shiny. I gotta go look at it. And then Melody came up the stairs and I go, Melody, you too. You know what she did? She smiled at me. Whenever she smiles, I know she's got a plan. You know? That's what I think of when I think about the word bewitched. What is it that captivated you wholeheartedly, that distracted you, that seduced you into this? Because you had a firmer ground. Like they had a firmer ground than we have. Like they have firsthand testimonies of things. We are reading it. Now that's good enough. Don't get me wrong. I'm not questioning it. It's good enough for us. But they had it firmer than we had it. They got the information fresher than we've got it. And they still walked away. The thing is with this applying to the law or adding the law to grace is it appealed to the flesh. The old nature, or as Brother Charlie put it this morning, the old identity, is delighted to perform some religious work so that I could take some pride in it. Think about that for a second. Well, I've been a member of this church for 700 years. Well, I tell you what, we gave this much money to the church. Hey, are you going to heaven when you die? Well, my daddy was a preacher. None of those things equate to salvation. So why do people put their trust in them? Because it makes them feel good. Well, you do that? I don't do that. That makes me better. No, I'm pretty sure if we emptied out your closet, we'd find some sin you don't want to talk about that person's not doing. Right? No, we need to rely fully on grace, because ultimately there's nothing in your works that's worth bragging about. Because even if you're really good at one thing, you're still a sinner somewhere else. Right? There's no point in bragging. There's no point in trying to draw attention to yourself by adding, oh yeah, well also I'm a really decent person. Now you should be. You should be a decent person. I'm not trying to change solid doctrine here. You should be good. You should behave. You should follow the word of God. But not so that you can go to heaven, and not so that you can get bragging rights. It makes no sense for us to brag on something. It isn't even our fault to begin with. Also, it appealed more to the intellect. You looked smarter believing it. It's kind of like today. Hey, if you believe in this transgender stuff, you are more intelligent and compassionate than others. And I'm like, oh, it's that emperor's new clothes thing. Right? Emperor's clothes. If you can see it, you're wise and intelligent. If you don't see it, you're a fool. And all of a sudden, oh yeah, I see it. Oh yeah. And I think there's a lot of people out there seeing the benefits to these new lifestyles, but they don't really see it. They claim to see it. Oh yeah. You ask them a few questions and that conviction falls apart. Falls apart. You know, I was talking to someone recently. They sat there. They said, well, you know, it doesn't sound like you, it doesn't sound like you're up with the times, but it also sounds like you're very bigoted towards this lifestyle. I said, well, no, I'm not at all. She goes, I don't know, because I believe it and you don't believe it. And I said, okay, well, let me ask you this. What happens if somebody decides to transition and then they decide to detransition? Have you ever looked those people up? Well, no. Why would anybody want to detransition? I don't know. It was their choice to do it in the first place. Why couldn't it be their choice to undo it? Oh, I don't know. It just kind of seems like it'd be a betrayal to the... betrayal to the what? To the thought process? To the movement? To the idea? And then when they do decide that they no longer can do it, or as what is happening more often, they cannot afford to maintain the medications. They have to come off of it just to find out that they need even more medications just to stabilize their mood, their hormones, and the functioning of their bodies. And they realize that the things that they sacrificed for the sake at the altar of social acceptance, at the altar of looking intelligent, at the altar of looking compassionate, has ruined their lives. They can't get those things back. Oh, I don't know about that. I guess I never thought about that. Okay. What about abortion? We talk about abortion from time to time. I'll ask people this. I go, hey, do you think the baby can feel? It's a fetus. Do you think the fetus can feel? I'll bring up an article, several articles actually, where there have been scientific peer-reviewed studies. So even the liberals have to agree with it, because you got to trust the science. Am I right? They'll sit there and they come out and they say they can feel pain. They feel pain. Could you imagine one of the first feelings you ever experienced in your life is your body ground up like it was being turned to hamburger? We put that stuff in horror films, folks. Right? So they don't like that idea. Why is it that they don't want to do ultrasounds in the abortion clinic? Why is it that they don't want that guy out there? There's always a guy in front of an abortion clinic, and bless his heart, there's that one holding those horrific signs. Why is it that they don't want the guy holding out the horrific signs? Because they don't want you to know how the sausage is made. They don't want you to know what it looks like. They don't want you to know how it goes. So when we think about this, who has bewitched you? And what is it that they bewitched you with? We hold a lot of hard doctrine. It's important for us to know why we believe it and are able to defend it. I think a lot of Baptists today, we're proud of our doctrine, but very few can defend it personally. Well, that's what our church believes. That's what we believe. Yeah, but do you know from Scripture why you believe it? Because I'll tell you what, that'll be a thing. That'll be something that helps you. You got to be able to go back to the roots and study it. We've done a few of those since I've been here where we've studied a doctrine and we've gotten into the scripture of it. And those are some of my favorite sermons. I don't know about you, but those are some of my favorite ones. I got to work a whole lot harder for them, but I like them. Most of the time it's stuff I've studied 5, 6, 7 times over. But I like doing the research. Why? Because it's the Word of God. And as we are told through Scripture, we shouldn't be blown about, tossed about by every wind of doctrine. We ought to be hung tight to what the Word says. Not by every teaching we see out there, but by what we know to be true. Paul is sitting there going, you know this to be true. What happened? There's a lot of groups out there that do their best to try to remove faith from Christians. They'll put that on the TV. They'll make fun of God and religion, and they'll make their little quirky comments about things. And the goal is to take the faith away from a Christian. Now, I'm not talking about anything magical. They pose questions maybe you've never thought of. And I've talked to a few people like that. Well, I was watching such and such, and they said this, and I looked it up, and sure enough, it's there. And I said, yeah, but have you studied it? Or did you just take the cartoon's word for it? And they said, they almost looked insulted. What do you mean took the cartoon's word for it? I'm a grown person. Was it a cartoon you were watching? Yes. Might have been one of those ones where they're allowed to cuss in the cartoon, but was it from a cartoon? Yeah. And you found that verse? Yeah. You didn't study it. You were just satisfied that the cartoon was right. They devise these things. They build these things. Well, we're going to entertain the faith out of you. We're going to educate the faith out of you. No, we didn't come from creation. No, we are all the galaxy is billions of years old and getting more billions are by the minute. And we don't believe in this as far as gender. We don't believe in this as far as morality. We don't believe in this as far as the Bible. And if you don't put that on the test, you fail. That's what I was told. So, but here's the thing, that's wrong. Yeah, but that's the answer I'm looking for, so you got to write it down on the test to get the grade. I had a teacher one time, I didn't get along with my 8th grade science teacher all that well. I was respectful, to be clear, I was respectful. But he'd do stuff. So we had this conversation, I said, hey, listen, you know, I just want to let you know, I don't think that this is true. And we had that conversation, and he goes, well, you're going to have to answer it on the test, and if you don't answer it right on the test. I go, but if I write that down, to me, it's going to be like telling a lie. And he goes, if you don't write it down on the test, you're going to fail that question. And I said, all right. I did the math. I go, all right, so if it's a 100-question test, and 2 of them are on this particular subject, that's -2. Pretty sure if I study sufficiently, no, more than half the questions had to do with that section. And I knew for a fact that he changed it. Knew for a fact he changed it just for fun. I even suspected at the time that maybe I had a test others didn't, just because of how the conversations were going in the room. But it's very rough. We'll entertain it out of you. We'll educate it out of you. What else? That leaves social thought. We will peer pressure it out of you, right? You can't voice your opinions on social media. You can't live a Christian life out in your workplace. You can't do this and you can't do that because it easily offends. Whereas the Muslim can do whatever they want and we will cheer that on. We had somebody talk about that. I said, hey, listen, we had a guy come in and he made this request to have time off during work to pray. And I went, okay, well, that's, if he can do it, can I do that? Because I'm like, hey, if he's praying 3 times a day and his God ain't got ears, maybe I ought to pray 3 times a day because my God does. I wasn't trying to be, I really was. I'm like, hey, if we're allowed to do that, I'd love to do that. I wasn't trying to cause trouble for him. I wasn't trying to get away with anything. I wasn't trying to be a booger about it. I know I could be a booger about stuff. But I really had, hey, that's a good idea. No, ma'am. And I explain, I go, no, I'm not trying to do a thing. Like, he wants to go do that. I'll cover him. And then when I go do that, maybe he'll cover me. No, ma'am. Why? Well, we got to be tolerant to other religions, and Christianity has had its day, and we really can't support that. We really can't have that as part of our social image for a company. And then the lady who was talking to us was a female, and I asked the guy who was in the room with us, because she brought us both in for some reason, I guess to get brownie points for something, I don't know. But I asked him, hey, according to your Quran, what should she be wearing right now? Well, if she were my wife, she would have to wear a hijab. And according to your religion, should she even be your boss right now? No, this is very offensive to my religion. I said, if she were to talk to you the way she talked to me, and she were a member of your community, what would happen? There would be judgment. I looked over at her. I go, well, as long as we're being tolerant. As long as we're being tolerant. You see, we have so perverted and twisted ourselves as a society, we forget basic truths. And we get caught up and bewitched by these things. Why do you think preachers have been preaching against things like radio, television, false religion, weird cults from other sides of the world? Why do you think they've preached on those things for so long? Because they're being buzzkills? Because they're fun killers? No, because there are inherent dangers to those things. There are problems with it. We'll go ahead and we'll read verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Hey, when you were saved, was it by the... let's just go ahead and read it again before I mess this up. Received ye the Spirit by the law or by faith? Did you receive the Holy Spirit because you obeyed the law or because of your faith in Jesus Christ? Anybody here, some of you have a testimony of being a bit of a rule breaker, a little bit of a rebel in your early years. Some of you were well-behaved people right up to the day the Lord saved you. You were good people, caring people, compassionate people. You paid your bills on time. You returned your library books within the allotted parameter. You always did what you were supposed to do. You helped your neighbor out. You baked a pie for the people in your family that were sick. You did everything right. Did you receive the Holy Spirit before or after the Lord saved you? You can't receive the Spirit by being hate. You must be saved. You've got to be covered by the blood of Christ before you can be endowed with the Holy Spirit. They had left the mark here. You gotta go when you find yourself off on doctrine. You gotta go back to the basics. I've met a lot of people, they get off on doctrine here or there, and the advice is always the same. Go back to basics. Well, I got this brand new commentary set, and I tell you what, it's really opened my eyes on some things. Somebody gave that person this advice. They said, here's what you do. Don't use the commentaries for 3 weeks. Keep studying the Bible to study the topic your eyes were opened on and see if you can find it without it. See if you can find it without the commentary. Guess what? There's a lot of commentaries out there that talk about false doctrine. There's a lot out there where people are just making stuff up. Where because you decided to write a commentary, you come across a passage of scripture and you ain't got nothing to say on it, but you've obligated yourself to say something about it, that's where heresy grows. That is fertile soil for heresy. Right? So we got to be careful. What is it that I need when I get to sliding off doctrinally? I need to go back to the basics. How were you saved? We'll get into debates all the time over stuff. You know, talking about how you were saved, we get into the disputes about the doctrines of grace with some folks. And I tell you what, it's hard for me to understand why they don't see it. But you know how you can fix that solution? Is it by witty clips and funny remarks and jokes told between people and insults at each other? No. You know how you do it? You go back to the Bible. Go back to what you know for sure. Have you been bewitched by some weird philosophy or something that goes against God? You think maybe you're having your own personal awakening? Are you awake? Or are you seeing something that's not there? And you think that it's cool that it's there. We need to be solid on what we know. So Paul takes them back to the basics. When you received the Spirit, was it by law or by grace? And of course, the answer that we know for sure is that they received the Spirit by faith. They heard. They believed. They were called. They received the Holy Spirit from there. Let's go ahead and read verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And that is a very solid question for what they're talking about here. So are you so mixed up that you actually believe that the Holy Spirit, so the salvation started you off, but your good behavior took you the rest of the way? You're completed by your works. Of course, we know that that cannot be true. It cannot be. What is it? It's humanism again. We're trying to worship God and ourselves. And that's no way to live. I want people to think I'm special. I want people to think I'm important. In one of my sermons today, as we'll see, it's not good for someone to think so often about themselves. It's not good for someone to think so highly of themselves, especially when the truth is looking you right in the face. The work of the Holy Spirit, the work that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, the convicting of the Holy Spirit, the being made alive, the quickening that we received was sufficient. Sufficient. Salvation is not a 50-50 deal where God comes 50% of the way with grace, I come 50% of the way with the law, and we meet in the middle and everything's wonderful. No, I couldn't do it. What does the Bible say about us? We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead people can't give 50% of anything. Dead people don't reach out halfway. They don't reach. Spiritually, there's nothing I could do other than prove my need for grace. We cannot be made perfect by our actions. Now again, our actions are owed to the Lord, but they have nothing to do with our justification. Now, excuse me, Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. There is a role works has. Works does have a position. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are not saved because of good works. We are saved unto good works. So that we can go do good works. So that we can go and honor God with our actions. Because we are saved, we are given the unique ability to see that while there are things that tempt us, while there are things that we think may reward us, they are bad things and we don't have to do them. We don't have to do them. Everyone who's ever argued over the morality of something, they've always argued it from a position of something to sell. Not to pick on McDonald's this morning, but I guess I will. You remember that documentary, Super Size Me? Remember that? I watched that this week. That's probably why it's so fresh on my mind. But basically, the guy ate McDonald's for every meal, for right up to the point where his doctor says, you're probably going to die, you keep doing this. Teaching us that you can't eat McDonald's 3 times a day for 30 days or whatever it was, don't do it. There was another guy who came out, and he did the opposite. He lost weight on the McDonald's diet. Now, he didn't show himself eating the food. He didn't show himself getting tested by doctors. Didn't do any of the things that the other guy did. But he was a high school teacher, and he was teaching his high school students about making good choices, and that's what really makes the difference. But the guy slipped up in the documentary and said that they were trying to help McDonald's prove something. Oops. And the moment the documentary came out, it was a very cheaply done documentary. You and I could do it with a cell phone today, but very cheaply made documentary. The second it came out, he went to work for guess who? McDonald's. I've never seen anybody argue the morality of things unless that thing had a deep hold on them, either financially or emotionally. Most of the people that argue about the benefits of marijuana are smoking marijuana. Or they're selling marijuana. Why on earth would someone like me not want them to? I don't stand to make any money. What's my beef against promiscuity? Is it my business? No. What's the big deal on me telling people not to lie or to cheat or to steal, not to break the commandments that God has given us in His Word? What's the big deal to me? What do I stand to gain? Nothing. I really don't. As a matter of fact, the more I waffle on those things, the more money I might make, right? I go out there. There's a lot of people out there who propose themselves to be religious leaders who say lies about what the Bible says, and everybody buys their books. Well, hey. Sell a lot of books that way. I pack a lot of pews that way. So what's the benefit of it? There's no benefit. God told me to do so, so I'm doing it. I have seen the bondage. I have seen the prison these things put people in. And I'm preaching against it for their freedom, for their sake. Right? We are called to good works. I can now see the detriment to what God has told us not to do. And I now have the freedom to not need to do them to feel good. I'm not like Frank Sinatra, that's not me. I don't have to wake up and that's the best I feel all day. I've got a lot of things in my life that just kind of pump that dopamine out. Right? I come upstairs, there's my kids. Morning, Daddy. Man, I feel good. Melody comes down. She gives me that smile. She grumps at Mommy. Don't tell Danielle I told you this. Danielle will go get her. I'll come in. Good morning. Big old smiles. Daddy gets a hug. That's why she gets whatever she wants. But there's a lot of things. I'll come to the church and I'll do stuff. I'll get lost in the Word for a little while. And I tell you what, it's good. It feels good. It's wonderful. I don't need those things. Now, do I still fall for those things from time to time? Absolutely. Just the same as you do. We all fall for them. But we got a choice, and we know we've got a choice, and we've got the strength and ability to make a better choice. We are called to good works. We are called to do good. While works have a relationship to faith, works cannot be a part of what saves us. Verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? You see, when you take a stand for the Lord, especially during this time that they're writing, there was persecutions, there was trouble, there was judgment. And what Paul is asking, have you suffered so much to leave and to be called this by the Jews and to be called that by the Gentiles and to know that armies could come and punish you for your monotheism? Did you know that by rejecting the other gods? I mean, all those things that you suffered, were they all a waste? Were they all for nothing? And as Paul says, if they are yet, because there's still that opportunity for them to rally and get it right and it not be in vain. They had believed the apostles' preaching in spite of public opinion and pressure. And now all of a sudden they are pressured or persuaded to the contrary opinion. Why is it that you'd work so, that you'd see something so true, something so real, something so obvious, and be persecuted for it, and then so rapidly give it away? Perhaps that is part of the reason. We look at a world today that judges us for what they call narrow-mindedness. They call us bigoted. They call us old-fashioned. But yet, many of us, we defect. Maybe not in actions, but in maybe just a passive word. Well, maybe we agree to disagree. Hey, I know it sounds kind of mean, but that's just what my church believes. Now, that's what the Word of God says. You know, hey, if I'm right and there is a God and He did preserve His Word, and His Word does say that that's a sin, and He does say that the wages of sin is death, and death means an eternity in hell where there's darkness and burning and gnashing of teeth. And if I'm right, it doesn't matter what you have to say. Well, it just doesn't seem nice. Well, it doesn't seem very popular. None of that will matter if I'm right. Yeah, well, what if you're wrong? Then I'll die and I'll never know anything about it. I'll die and I'll never know anything about it. All I'll know is this, is that I lived happy following the Word of God. We cannot give in to peer pressure. We cannot give in to societal pressure. Though they make it seem good and the arguments are well, it does not mean that we should. We had a teacher one time taught us a very important lesson on that. He's a very smart man, Mr. McMahon. I think I use him as an illustration from time to time. It's because he's kind of different than any other teacher I've ever had. He used to bet us for things, and the one thing that we could get him to bet on is Snickers. And if we ever won, he'd say he'd buy the whole class a Snickers. But if we lost, the whole class would have to buy him a Snickers. Not one Snicker. Everyone with a regular size Snicker bar. He was very clear. One day he got us. He goes, all right, who says, we were talking about a cross country meet coming up. And somebody had asked if they could go early so that they could go to practice or whatever it was that they needed to go do. And he says, I should be on that team. I'm faster than you are. And it got to the point where if I can make it from one end of the hallway to the other under 10 seconds, you'll have to give me a Snickers bar. But if I make it under 10 seconds, or if I don't make it under 10 seconds, I have to give all of you a candy bar. And we go, okay. He goes, all right, but I need my special hat first. What? He goes, my hat helps me to run faster. And we're seniors in high school, by the way. And we're like, all right, man, go get your hat. Who do we care? Puts the hat on, he casually strolls. Takes him over a minute and a half to go from one end of the hallway to the other. We're cheering. We're excited. Except for a few of us like me who are sitting there going, all right, there was a game here somewhere. We lost somehow and we don't know it yet. Took the hat off. Underneath the hat was a piece of paper. It says 10 seconds. He did. He made it from one end of the hallway to the other under 10 seconds. So the next day, 25 Snicker bars were on his desk. We learned. Listen, there are things that sound persuasive. There are things that we think make sense. But there's no sure bets when it comes on anything other than the Lord. You know what we learned that day? Don't mess with Mr. McMahon. You know what I learn every day with the Word of God? Don't doubt it. Don't play with it. Whether it's dealing with my salvation or dealing with the way that I ought to live, it is better to rely on God than it is for me to listen to the grand arguments of things going on around me. Because again, if you pay close enough attention, you will see the hurt in their lives that is caused by the thing that they are doing. That friend that wants you to come out and party all the time is that same friend that needs 20 bucks all the time. That person out there who thinks, oh, I'll go to this church and that church and this church, or I won't go to any church at all, and they refuse to submit to truth, they're going to have issues because of that. We need the Lord, and we need to rely on what He has to say and nothing else. We cannot give in to this idea to this idea of peer pressure. Hey, come our way. This is the broad path. Look, all these people can't be wrong. They can be. They can be. Yeah, well, once you get a good amount of people agreeing on something, that means they're right. Well, a good amount of people agreed on Joe Biden. And even they're sitting there watching him talk going, oh no, what did we do? That's not even a partisan statement. You listen to the man talking and you feel as though we are abusing somebody's grandpa. Right? Now I'm not picking on his age. You hear him. There is something medically wrong. You watch him do stuff. There is something medically wrong. And a group majority put him in the White House. I don't believe in what the group majority has to say. Group majority voted for a lot of really ridiculous things. That doesn't make it right. Bible says straight is the gate. Bible says few are them that enter in. So we cannot go, well, you know, there's a good amount of people believe in this law and grace stuff. A good amount of people believe in this doctrine or that doctrine. If it ain't in the Bible, you ain't convincing me. Right? And by the way, that's the tool in which you're going to have to. And I love doing that, by the way, and I encourage you to do the same. Somebody comes up to you with some idea. All right, I'll listen to you, but you got to use this. And if you can't use this, you can't move me. Right? I am a hot pot on the stove. You need to use the proper tools to move me around, or you're going to get burned. Because this is it. It's the only tool that moves me when it comes down to what the Bible says. You got to use the Bible. I don't care about Dr. So and So. I don't care about the conflagration going on over there in this church or that. What does the Word of God say? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for Galatians. Thank you for Paul's words being preserved for us, that we may see what our attitude should be towards false religion. We are not to be nice with it. We are not to be permissive about it. But Lord, we are to stand firm on your word and speak plainly the truths in which you've given us. Lord, help each and every one of us to, number one, be grateful for our salvation, and Lord, not to think too highly of ourselves for it, but to give to you all the honor and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.